Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Puck coming toward the blue line. Villiers here is a puck. Fired, they score! Jacob Chychrun, as a puck comes to him in a high slot, he rips it. Top right corner, 50 seconds into this second period. It's 1-0, Washington.
Tomorrow, we are going to be at Craft House Fairfax, Fairfax Corner, over on Palace Way. We're going to be there from 2 to 6:30. Getting ready for week 15. Come join us.
We love it over there. It's a fantastic spot. All it is a bunch of good food and good beers and the whole kit and a caboodle. We're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
Later on this segment, I want to get into Bill Barnwell's piece on ESPN.com ranking the NFL MVP candidates. He lists 15 of the best players in the league this year and looks at their candidacy. We'll get into that. But right now, we wanted to preview the Caps and the Canes. Huge game at Capital One Arena tonight. Some of you going downtown into D.C. this evening for the home tilt. And John Walton will be on the call right here on The Fan in 2 hours. John, thanks for hopping aboard. I got to say, a couple weeks ago, we're talking about this team, and I did not see this being a matchup of a couple of the best in the conference tonight. But here we are after the Caps have been on a roll, winning 10 of their last 12.
Yeah, and a lot of it, guys, has to do with goaltending. I think we knew that from the Capital standpoint with Logan Thompson. But Brandon Bussey's come out of nowhere for Carolina to win 9 of his first 10 NHL games. He's a journeyman, had never seen a day in the National Hockey League until this season. And they've had injuries in goal in Carolina. This is a recording that goes on every year, seemingly. But he's going to get the start tonight, and he and LT are the top two guys right now in terms of stopping high danger chances. So a lot of good goaltending that we're going to see here tonight. This is the team, of course, that put him out in the second round. So until you find a way through, come springtime, getting around Carolina, I know this is always going to be a little bit of that measuring stick game. And, yeah, it should be a fun one tonight. A little bit more extra spice in this one.
Yeah, you touched on where I was going, John. Big picture, this one is obviously it's important. It's a big regular season game, but eventually postseason time. Is this group this year, even with some of these injuries, better equipped to deal with what Carolina did to them last year?
I think so. And, Danny, I can tell you that most of last summer – in and around probably a little deserved vacation time, Spencer Carberry has pored over every inch of that tape from that series over and over again. How do you beat those guys? What do we need to do better that we didn't do this time? And I'm sure that that'll get imparted to the guys when and if that day comes. If it's a second-round matchup again, it certainly could be. We could be easily looking at Carolina-Washington again, especially the way that the season's gone for both of them now. But that's a long way off, and the only thing that you've got tonight is to be able to show them what you did a few weeks ago in Carolina, and that's they beat them 1 month ago today in Raleigh and look good doing it. They won 4-1. So more of that, please, whether it be offense from the blue line, whether it be a bit of a revamped power play that has certainly looked better of late. The penalty kill has been better. I mean, those things that we've been talking about, you know, for the last few weeks, we said, listen, if they could just get that together, well, well, they have, I think, for the most part. Power play's definitely been better, and even though they didn't score on Sunday against Columbus, you know, they had 14 chances. I mean, it's you just need a puck to go your way at some point. It wasn't through lack of trying or lack of execution. So looking forward to seeing what that can do tonight against a team that, you know, trying to get a little separation with in the Metro.
John Walton on Grant and Danny. Canes at the Caps tonight, just after 7 o'clock, right here on The Fan. What's been particularly impressive about this stretch is that they're doing it despite injuries they've had to overcome. Pierre-Luc Dubois has been out throughout the entire renaissance. And here more recently, Ryan Leonard goes down, and they haven't missed a beat. Give us an update on those guys, but also some thoughts on the way they've responded.
They've responded great, but the update first. So Pierre-Luc Dubois, nothing really new, but I don't think we're going to see him until after the Olympics. It's just the way that the sense that I've gotten. I think that you've got a real good chance, though, of getting him back somewhere in that vicinity, which is almost like picking something up at the trade deadline because it'll be right around that time. Ryan Leonard, the news may be a little better than we thought it was going to be. Spencer Carberry telling us today, somewhere in the vicinity of 4 weeks, facial injury and separated shoulder, and it's not great, but, you know, given the nastiness of the hit, which I didn't like at all, but, you know, getting him back will be big. He was just starting to round into form. But, guys, Ethan Frank, to me, he's going to be on the number one power play tonight. He was on Sunday against Columbus. This is quickly becoming one of my favorite stories, not just for this year, but over the last few, because I got to Hershey when they were winning cups in 2023 and 2024. The first time that Hershey won, Ethan Frank was a healthy scratch for multiple rounds in the playoffs. Came back in the finals and started to turn the corner a little bit, but it wasn't his best performance. Then the next year, he goes out and he scores 10 goals and leads them in goals. They end up winning the cup again. He doesn't make the team out of camp here. First time up, you know, everybody starts a little bit of a flash because you got all that adrenaline, but, you know, tailed off and he wasn't able to really stick. And now we're watching it happen. I talk about this with Spencer Carberry tonight on the pregame. This is something where everybody learns at different rates, and it sometimes takes a little bit more for it to stick with Ethan on what he needs to do to be a good college player, a good minor league AHL player, to be a good NHL player. But I think we're watching it right now, and you're going to see him tonight on the number one power play unit. He's creating chances. He's got unbelievable speed, and you combine that with any kind of offensive touch, and we're starting to see that now. I think he's turning into a legitimate NHL player, and what a find from a guy that was undrafted, a guy that didn't even get an NHL contract. He had to sign with Hershey first before the Caps even signed him, and now here he is on the number one power play on the same unit with the best goal scorer of all time. It's just a great story.
John Walton with us here on G&D. How are the defensive pairings shift now that John Carlson's coming back tonight, presumably?
It's going to be more or less what we've seen traditionally. Martin Ferravaara will be back with Johnny. Matty Roy is going to be with Jacob Chychrun, and Trevor Van Riemsdyk will be in tonight. So no Dylan McElrath, no Trevor Van Riemsdyk. And again, the offense that group has produced, certainly led by Chychrun, but getting a little offensive bolt. John Carlson, you know, even at this late stage in his career, just having a fantastic year, producing a lot of offense. Be good to get him back tonight for sure.
John Walton on the call of the Caps here on The Fan. Before we let you go, what is something that needs to still improve? Where's something where you go, okay, they've been hot, but eventually you cool off and the season happens again, right? Like, you come back down to earth. What's something that you still think is keeping them from maybe finding their final gear?
I'm not ready to say that the power play's all the way back. I mean, I think that we've seen great strides the last three or four games. In California, I thought they were really good. I'm a little concerned about Ryan Leonard not being a part of it because I think that was where they were really starting to utilize that speed and that shot that he has and setting up on that right side opposite Ovi. But if Ethan Frank's able to do that, if they're able to consistently generate on the power play, and again, I think you could probably say the exact same thing about the penalty kill. It's been good the last four games, and if they can consistently turn out performances like that. They were losing games early this season, guys, because the special teams were doing just enough to lose. Now they're doing just enough to win, and that's going to have to continue. I certainly think that it can. I just think that I don't know if I'm fully ready to throw open the doors and say, yep, we're good. Four games, we're fine. But other than that, I think the 5-on-5 has been there all year. The goaltending, I mean, LT is just right now. If you voted for the Vezina Trophy for the best goalie in the NHL, they won't do that till April. But when they do, LT figures to be there. If they did it today, I think he would be hands down the number one in the league and get the most votes because of what he's meant to this team and the stats that he's thrown up. To be able to stop all the high danger chances, that's been great. Getting Charlie back, it was great to see him today, by the way. So he's back on the ice. He's not going to dress for this one tonight. He is eligible to come off injured reserve after tonight. So maybe We see him on the trip in Winnipeg, Minnesota. But just continued special teams, just getting a little bit better, a little more consistent, I think would be something to look for.
John, awesome as always, brother. Have a great call tonight.
All right, fellas. Thank you.
Be good. There's John Walton on Grant and Danny. Caps Canes get started a little under 2 hours from right now. Bill Barnwell of ESPN, I told you, cited 15 or so players as the best in the league this year, and they did a top five list as he looked at the MVP candidates going into the stretch run here, the final month of the season. So here's his top five in the NFL. I'm going to give you the names, get your reaction. I'll give you some thoughts, then we'll go back through each one. He's got, in descending order, Sam Darnold, number five, best player in the league this year, quarterback Seattle.
Totally fair, yeah.
Number four, Myles Garrett, the edge from the Cleveland Browns, who's on pace to break the sacks record. Number three, he's got Jordan Love, quarterback Green Bay Packers. Might surprise people, but he's actually number one among quarterbacks in EPA per play as a passer.
Analytically, he's been very good. The regular numbers we're used to don't match that.
Exactly. Number two is Matt Stafford of the Rams, the quarterback who is currently the front runner for the MVP award, narrowly over the guy that Bill Barnwell ranks number one here, Drake May, the second-year QB for the New England Patriots, who he says has been the best player in the NFL this year and should be the most valuable player. So that is Darnold 5, Myles Garrett 4, Jordan Love 3, Matt Stafford 2, Drake May 1. Your thoughts on those five?
I love that list. You could shuffle up and quibble a little bit. I'd probably bump Jordan Love down a pick or two, but he's, you know, the quarterback of a team that's a top seed in the NFC that's had a really difficult schedule and has been good, even really good, you would say. Again, the overall counting numbers aren't as sexy as some of the other guys that I'd rank ahead of him, but so I like that. To me, Garrett should get talked about more. I know they're terrible. Cleveland is just god-awful, but what he's doing is that much more astounding. Somebody had a highlight the other day, I can't remember who it was, via the Twitters, where you just saw several different plays where there are three separate offensive players that lay hands on Myles Garrett on a play. They just go, not you. We decided it's not going to be you. Three different people are going to block you, whether it's a chip and then a double team, whether it's three actual linemen. Nobody's having more impact on games on a weekly basis than that guy.
I actually sneaky think if the Packers end up winning the North, which right now looks very possible, they have for the moment overtaken Chicago, who they beat this past week, and they still play them again. But if they can win that game and then win the division, they're 9-3-1. Let's say they finish this thing around 12-4-1. They go 3-1 the rest of the way, and they win the North. I think Jordan Love could win the MVP award, kind of come out of nowhere. You know, you get the two horses jockeying up front, and then somebody's on the rail, comes flying out of nowhere. I could definitely see that, and he overtakes Stafford and May. But he's going to have to play really, really well, and maybe more importantly, those two guys are going to have to come back to the pack a little bit. It does seem like you have to win your division most of the time to win MVP. It's not a set-in-stone rule, but it seems like a little bit of an unwritten prerequisite. So right now, Drake May benefits more from that because he's two games up on Buffalo with a game in hand. They do play the Bills coming up this weekend. So they've either clinched the division with a win or it's still going to be narrowly be up in the air and they'll need a tiebreaker and they'll need to continue to win to hold them off. But the Rams are tied with the Seahawks for the West at 10-3. They played once head-to-head. Seattle outplayed L.A. The Rams actually won the game anyway. If the Seahawks beat the Rams in their second meeting, not only will they be ahead in the standings then if they both went out, but they would take away the tiebreaker for the moment as well in terms of the head-to-head matchup. So Stafford and the Rams probably still have to win the West, which isn't a lock for him to be the MVP award. But I think where we're headed is probably a two-horse race, don't you?
I do.
It feels like Stafford, as far as the odds have gone, or May.
You're barring a left turn for something, right? Like, your Jordan Love point as the dark horse would make some sense, assuming, God forbid, Stafford tweaks his back, has to miss three games, and the Patriots collapse down the stretch or something. It would take a turn for someone else to be the top two.
There is a big part of me that would love to see Matt Stafford win the MVP award because I've always loved him. He's always been one of my favorite, most underrated quarterbacks in the league. And it's funny, as he's gone on in his career, I think after winning the Super Bowl probably more than anything, he's finally started to get some of that attention. I think when you're no longer on a bad or middling team like Detroit, which was out of his control for so long, weird. You're on a really good team that actually achieves in the postseason. You start to get some of the credit that you deserve as a great player. But I think it'd be the ultimate lifetime achievement award to put a bow on a Hall of Fame career, and he walks into the sunset if he wins the MVP award. So I totally would think that that's cool. I also obviously love Drake May's game. I have since he was at North Carolina and came out. I don't think it's actually as close as we're making it out to be right now in the MVP conversation. I think the argument is mostly if you're pro Matt Stafford, you're going to cite like touchdowns, interceptions, the ratio therein, kind of what I would consider to be pretty simpleton stats. You know, just in other words, if you throw 37 touchdowns in a season, that talks about 37 plays with zero context. There are probably other plays that should have been touchdowns where he threw a dime into the end zone that got dropped. But that could be a screen pass that's a touchdown. That could be, you know, a play that went through a defender's hands that's a touchdown. It just doesn't tell you quite as much. And that goes for him and it goes for May and everybody else. When you actually dive into any of the deeper analytics, May is head and shoulders ahead of him, and Love is probably the better comparison. Not to mention Stafford's throwing to Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua. Where do those guys rank among wide receivers in the NFL right now?
Pretty high.
He's got Kyren Williams at running back, who's better than anybody in New England as well. Sean McVay is a head coach, one of the best in the sport. A really good defense, championship-level defense. Like, supporting cast-wise, I think it's hard to make the case that his is not better than May's. But when you actually look at any of the EPA per play stuff or yards per attempt, there's a lot of different metrics. It would seem to me like May, for people that are going to dive into the numbers, is going to end up being the MVP. Or would be if they voted now. There's a lot of football still to go.
Yeah,
almost a quarter of the season.
If it was an analytics vote, I think it would probably go to May. My counter to that is a couple fold. One, I think when I do care about touchdown passes as a simpleton, but when it's 35 to 34, I don't just go, he had more, he's better. Okay, that's a guy that got tackled at the half-yard line. That's a nuanced thing. When it's 13 more, one a week, now you got a bigger sample that's telling you something.
Yeah. He'll have a decisive advantage here. I'm just saying, why is Matt Stafford your MVP? Dude, he's got a lot more touchdowns. That's just like a really basic
argument. Sure, yeah. If that's your only argument, then you should probably lose that argument. Adjust the net yards per attempt to me is another one I like. So when you drop back, what happens? And it's really, really good. It's kind of Matt Stafford. EPA per play, I'm surprised how low he is, to be honest with you. That's something I cared about last year, especially when I thought Lamar Jackson should have won it. It's Stafford for me because I think they've had such a more difficult schedule. And yes, his supporting cast is infinitely better. It just is. That's not a point of comparison. If you care that someone's doing more with less, you're a Drake May guy. I don't think you can go wrong with either, by the way. I would give it to Stafford. Oh, yeah.
Like many of these arguments, and we see this in baseball sometimes, it's two guys that are deserving and you're trying to pick nits.
Yeah.
If that makes, I'm just saying, for me, if I was voting and I don't have a vote, it would actually be pretty easy for me to circle May's name. When you look at 8.8 yards per attempt, second best in the NFL, Stafford a full yard behind that is crazy.
That is nuts,
now,
by the way.
Now, he's back end of the top 10, right? May, outperforming him. My favorite quarterback stat, as you know, is CPOE.
Mm-hmm.
This is completion percentage over expected. So it takes the throws you're asked to make, and it basically grades on, are you making hard throws, easy throws, how open is a guy, how close to the line of scrimmage are your throws. May's CPOE this year, completion percentage over expected, is plus 8.2%, which is easily best in the NFL. Stafford, very, very good, plus 2.6%, is 11th. But in a lot of these areas, like EPA per play, where May is second, behind Jordan Love, who's first, you know, Stafford is back end of the top 10, essentially. Adjusted completion percentage, we've talked about. May's adjusted completion percentage for, like, drops and some of the things you don't control, 79%, which, by the way, that's ridiculous.
That's insane.
Matt Stafford's is really, really good, 71%, but that's 11th. Going back to 2007, the only quarterback with a better adjusted completion percentage in a single season is Drew Brees at 79.1% in 2019. So we're talking about, like, an all-time accuracy season from Drake May right now.
It's insane. I mean, he's having an unbelievable year.
And he runs, by the way.
Yeah, all we're doing is picking nits at the same. He runs more than Stafford by a lot.
He makes plays with his feet. He extends and creates. Like, Stafford is just a pocket guy.
When I'm sitting there trying to, you know, teeter-totter between the two, again, if I mess up and put the wrong name, then I think you're still in good shape.
Would you vote for Stafford?
I would. I'd vote for Stafford. Both are very worthy candidates, though. Again, I'm picking nits here. I'm looking at some of those games where I go, you played a really good defense. What happened? It wasn't as good for Drake May, whereas I feel like the Rams have more buzzsaws that they've had to overcome. There are some great games, though, for May. The submit this one for your consideration to the committee, right, where you played a good team, a good defense. Like, his game against Cleveland is one of the games of the season. He was unbelievably good in that one, for example. You look at the Bills game, kind of putting them on the map, getting them over the hump. That was a massive, excellent performance, even though it didn't result in a whole bunch of touchdown passes and he wasn't prolific. That was a no, dudes, we belong in this one. And that matters to me an awful lot. But I just, you know, you start to add up all those for Stafford. Part of it, yes, his lifetime achievement that he's never gotten the appreciation he deserves. And now is his a great chance where he's going to lead maybe the best team in the NFL in a whole bunch of offensive categories, 13-game winner, be the one seed in the NFC, and we're going to go, no, somebody else. I don't know. Maybe it's sentimental, which shouldn't be the argument.
Right.
Because they were good against it last year.
I'm looking up the rushing stats. Drake May, 340 rushing yards.
Does Stafford have 100?
He has 11 rushing yards.
11.
11. Which is actually more than I would have thought.
You would have thought negative?
I would have thought like 4 or 5.
Yeah, a couple kneel downs.
And I'm not doing a bit, but like you lose yards sometimes on kneel downs or whatever.
He's not here to run the football. He's here to do no look passes.
But it's a big difference to an offense. I mean, when you're talking about watch the Patriots and what May adds with his legs, 9.2 cumulative rushing EPA. On the season, we talked to EPA earlier, 101.3 cumulatively for May, 75.6 for Stafford. So when you do a per drop back, it gets a little tighter, but still you're talking about one of the top two or three. I think it's going to depend, honestly, on how deep into the numbers people dive, or do they just look at, like, touchdowns, essentially. But Love is the guy. Maybe we should spend more time on another day. I think that's a really interesting case, because there's been some games where he's been outrageously good when they've needed him down the stretch. That Giants game, if you didn't watch the fourth quarter of that game, go back and watch. He was so damn good.
Yep.
And he saved their bacon that day and on the season a lot. Grant and Danny on the Fan next. Assuming health, how confident are you that Daniels gets back to an elite level next year? Assuming he stays on the field, health's not a concern. We're just talking about the quality of the play. Are you still 100% sold? That's next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Taking you up to 6:30 tonight, Grant and Danny on the Fan. We'll give you a preview of Week 15 in the NFL and confidence points picks in our final segment coming up after 6 o'clock. But right now, wanted to talk Jaden Daniels. We found out today that Cliff Kingsbury at the podium suggested that, you know, he acknowledged that Daniels has not played at the level maybe that was expected with his answer, which was he doesn't think he's had enough time with his teammates. I want to go through some of what Cliff said in a few minutes. But I think the acknowledgement, without saying it, of Kingsbury today kind of gives more credence to, this doesn't look right. We're all watching it. We're all seeing it. I think we all are acknowledging this is not the same thing. There's a lot of reasons as to why that might be. But Danny, here's my question.
Uh-huh.
Every discussion about Jaden Daniels starts with this prerequisite of, well, he's not healthy. He's not playing well, but it's because .. So I want to take that out of the equation and just drill down on the performance part of it. If he is completely healthy next year, are you confident that he reverts back toward last year's form? Can he get back to a level where he's one of the 5 to 7 best quarterbacks in the league? Coming into the year, it was just this foregone conclusion. Everybody had just kind of put it in pen. He's Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, and Jackson. You know, he's one of those guys. He's in the big four. The Mount Rushmore's become the top five. Are we still there with him if he's healthy? That is the question. We'll open up the phones at 800-636-1067.
It's not as automatic as it was for me. As the card-carrying, you know, first in line of the Jaden Daniels fan club, I wanted him drafted. I wanted him here. I still love the kid. I still really believe that this is our best shot at having one of those guys that puts us in the cool kids club forever. But I think there's been too much. Let me back up and say it in a different way. I don't think we're counting enough how figured out all of this is with the offense, with him, et cetera. That's the thing I'm worried about. And really the thing I'm worried about most, of course, is the injuries. We've gone through that a million times over, and I think that's what's going to stunt his growth more than anything else.
Which is why for this conversation, right, we're just throwing aside. It to the side.
I think we're not counting enough how teams are sitting on stuff. Teams have figured out answers. Like when we have to do the official comes up and goes, I'm the letter T. Teams have sort of figured out a strategy to prevent you from doing hurry up. And there hadn't been much counters to that. When we go 2 months at a time without being able to run the ball or however long, teams have figured out some stuff. When we can't go down the field, teams have figured out some stuff. I feel like there should be a little bit more panic here as we're looking at some of the other factors that have played way more into their demise and the fact that they've lost 8 straight and have been terrible and uncompetitive in 5 of those games while they've done it.
Some of which you're saying is Daniels himself.
I think a part of that is Daniels. I think part of that's what's going on around him. I think part of that is, you know, just sort of bad luck that Kingsbury has strengths. This is not one of them, I don't think, is the counterpunch to the counterpunch. The next thing, I think he's a little bit slow to react. And we saw that last year where they lost for a month and then it was like, oh, I can put Terry in motion. And you saw finally some changing. I think he's slow to react. I think that's a factor. So I'm no longer as ironclad confident as I was.
So do I hear you saying you're not as convinced he'll be top 7 to 10 in the league next year because of your lack of confidence in the offense and Cliff? Like, it sounds like that. Even your referendum on your answer being no is not on Daniels, essentially.
He bears a part of it, too. But I think we've seen the stunted growth this year. We've got explanations as to why. That doesn't just magically fix itself. Again, my biggest reason, not part of this discussion, is the injuries, the off again, on again, the rehab, all this other stuff that's not just him playing football, being in training camp and preseason games and joint practices and all the things that you need, the time on task, time on the grass that we always talk about. That's the reason. But the secondary factor is kind of the surroundings, I think, and what's going on. And he bears some responsibility to that as well.
So I worry about him getting back to last year's form for sure. I am not fearful that he isn't a second contract guy. I think that's an important clarification.
Mm-hmm.
What happened last year was Daniels played at an MVP level. And it just happened to come at a season, at a time in which there were a bunch of guys around the league that played at an MVP level. If he had that year last year, he'd be getting talked about in the same way Stafford and May are, I think, right now, honestly, or close to it. Maybe he'd be third in the odds, but it wouldn't be by that much. May's having this year on a season in which the timing is perfect because there's one guy other than you that's having this amazing quarterback season for a first-place team. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Last year, you had all the usual suspects. Lamar Jackson was doing Lamar things. Josh Allen had his best year he's had. Patrick Mahomes was right in the conversation. Jared Goff was putting up crazy numbers for a great Detroit one seed. Like, it was all happening. And so even though he had this amazing season, he was 7th or 8th position among people thinking MVP. And I only bring that up to say, I think we undervalue a little bit of how amazing last year was because he wasn't eventually, you know, in the discussion at the end, but he probably should have been. That year wins you the MVP award sometimes, and it definitely gets you in the top three almost every year. It just didn't last year. So I don't know that that's realistic. I think there was some element of surprising people, maybe not to the extent of 2012 with the read option offense that Alt had run in college, that Kyle Shanahan had adapted and created for the NFL, that took the league by storm thereafter with Kaepernick and Wilson and others. But I do think there was this element of nobody really saw it coming and they were surprised, and now the adjustment has been made and the ceiling has been lowered some. I'm not worried about the floor with him, really, though. Assuming health. I do think the only thing that keeps him from being a serviceable or better, and I actually think it'll be pretty good, starting quarterback, is health. This is always how I felt, frankly, going into the draft. Yeah. I liked Jaden Daniels as a prospect. I worried about the injuries. I worried about how often he left clean pockets, some of those things. And I guess where my concerns are coming now is some of that stuff is not improving in year two. And in fact, he's falling back on some of the old collegiate habits even more than he did last year, because when it was closer to 72 and sunny, we saw he's able to get coached up and do some of those things. Now, when you're pressing a little bit, it's just natural. It's muscle memory. You go back to what you know, what you're comfortable doing. So if the question is as simple as on a binary, is your confidence in him the same if he's healthy? My answer is no. I also think it'd be hard to say yes. But I wonder. We'll open up the phones on this. 800-636-1067. We hear from people every day who think this is just about the health. That might be true. Or that this is a cliff issue or an offensive issue. And my guess is they probably think, the same way they did before week one, that this is a top five quarterback and they have no concerns. We've just seen it be so good. It's too soon to give up hope on the possibility that it's there. But that's why I want to clarify. I'm not concerned like this is not a guy you give a second contract to or that isn't a starter.
That's a good distinction.
This is not Robert Griffin, where like he goes to Cleveland and 2 years from now he's backing up in Baltimore. Jaden Daniels will be a starter for the next 12 years in the NFL. My question is, what are we talking about? How great? The start of this season? MVP candidate, one of the best in the NFL.
Yeah, Warren Sharp's got him in his God tier.
We found Mahomes. That's what everybody was saying. Mm-hmm. Washington's Mahomes. Do we still feel that way? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah, I still feel...
Mahomes never had a season like this, by the way.
Right. I still feel as confident... Well, let me rephrase. I still, if I had to bet that we have the dude. Not just a dude, but the dude.
Like,
but
what does that mean? Help me with that.
Like, this is a you win because of. We have a player that, when he's healthy... That's a big if. Look at Cincinnati. When Burrow's available, they're good. When he's not, they're bad. When you have a player that I think he's going to be this good, that you're going to win because of him. And the cast will change and coaches will change and you're one of the cool kids now. That's what I bet on still. I'm less confident in that than I was.
Why after didn't year they one. This year? You're saying because of the health.
That's a big part of it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, but again, I think there's a million factors. I think the roster's worse than it was last year, and last year was bad, and they got away with a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
The health happened, and, you know, you got word salad cliches at coach that when you need some adjustments, they aren't there. I think Kingsbury's slow to adjust. And again, these aren't just indictments of these guys, but it's just you combine all the factors in the perfect storm, that's how you get this level of ineptitude.
Do you have him in that tier of the elites?
At the moment, no.
No, I don't mean this second. I mean, are you still confident he can be that? Because I'm trying to say is, like, Lamar, right now, it's funny, is having probably the worst stretch we've seen from him.
Yeah, he's having a terrible
season. But he has not had a season like this. Joe Burrow has not had a season like this. People will say, well, the Bengals don't make the playoffs. It's not really what we're talking about. Last year, they didn't make the playoffs. He went for 4,900 yards and 45 touchdowns. Like, he was an MVP candidate on an elite offense. Their offenses haven't looked like this. You know, Allen, Mahomes, those guys don't have years like this. So that's where I'm going, okay, well, it's not that. So we can put that to bed as far as I'm concerned for right now. If he has a year next year, like the first one, we can open the conversation back up. But there's a big gap still that's perfectly reasonable, which is, I think, where you're landing, which is like, he's a really good quarterback. He could be in that 7 through 12 range in the NFL.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to quantify it. If I had to bet, do we have a superstar, I would still bet yes. You asked me last year, I would have bet everything I have. Now I'm going to hedge a little bit. I'll bet a little bit less. I'm nowhere near as confident as I was.
Okay, so you're still betting you got a superstar.
Yeah, mostly, again, because of injury. But the second part is, you know, everything else. It's impossible to watch game in, game out. And you can excuse a lot of it or explain a lot of it away, but it's impossible to watch and go, you know, the arrow is trending in the right direction for him. And again, there's a million factors, and not all of them are on him. Some of them are.
If I'm going to define superstar as like a top five guy with the big four, so he's the best of everybody else, and he's in that conversation. And for me, I was open to that possibility at the end of the year. I never would have bet on it, but at the end of the year, I thought, holy shnikes, they might have done it. Maybe, just maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I didn't see it coming. This is it. I would not bet on that. I would bet on really good starter, though, still. I would bet on, I mean, he's obviously a top half the league starter. I think even this year where it's like been bad, so to speak, at times, He's still, if you look at all the numbers, probably in the top 20 in the league in almost everything. You know, I don't mean counting stats, but like the important metrics.
Yeah.
So I would say what I really care about, honestly, is franchise quarterback or not. That's really all that matters. Do you give him another contract or not?
Yeah.
And I still feel good about that. That's really what matters.
Yeah, your big group of four, I would say, remains fairly static, although there's some undulation in there. And then at one point it was, oh, it's got to be Jalen Hurts. It's not now. Well, it's got to be Dak Prescott. It's not now. It's got to be Darnold. It's not now. Or maybe it is, actually, with this year. But you know what I mean? That group undulates a lot. There's a lot more fluctuation.
Sure.
But you still go, who's the quarterback of the Packers? It's Jordan Love. They have a franchise guy.
But none of those guys are superstars. And that's what I'm saying.
Fair enough.
Superstars are, there's four of them. And everyone said Jaden was the next one. And the question is, do you still feel that way? 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Dianaroga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original. Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:30. What's your level of confidence in Jaden Daniels getting back to superstardom? Assuming health next year, would you bank on him playing at an elite level again? Cliff Kingsbury actually spoke today and was asked to assess Jaden Daniels' performance this season, and I found his answer pretty telling. He just went into why he's played the way he has, which somewhat revealing, I would say. This was Kingsbury at the podium today.
Yeah, I would just say offensively, we, you know, with him, really from the spring on through training camp, just we were never able to get into a rhythm with everybody. Enough practices strung together, enough games strung together, just practicing consistently. It just wasn't able to happen. And so I think it's hard to really assess what that looked like based on just we never had consistent practice or rhythm or anything of that nature, whether he was banged up or, you know, other guys were out.
And then Kingsbury also talked about the importance of practice reps to playing well more broadly, but it was Jaden related.
From the quarterback perspective, offensive minded perspective, you know, as many of those on the field reps, the timing with receivers, the cadences with the O-line, the mesh points with the running backs, as much as that as you can get prior to your first game, and then as much as you can get in season, I think is paramount to playing good football and good offensive football. And I thought, you know, last year we were able to stay healthy in some positions, and especially at Jaden, just day after day after day, working at his craft, practicing, getting better, and we just weren't able to have the consistency or the amount of practice reps that we would have liked.
So let's hit the listener lines. Are you as sure about Daniels, if he's healthy next year, playing at a top five or so level in the league as you were coming into this season, or has it waned? Tim's in Cleveland listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Tim?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, buddy.
So I am a big Jaden Daniels fan, but I do have my confidence kind of starting to waver. I don't think you can even assume the injury that he's going to be healthy, and that's my biggest problem. He has the talent to be a superstar, but that is always going to be the question, is his health. And that is honestly one of those things why I don't know. I mean, would we have really drafted him if Kingsbury wasn't the offensive coordinator? And I've actually even started to waver on AP and DQ is some of the decisions they've made. AP's drafts, I mean, is not as looking as crazy as it originally was based off of how it went last year.
And that's what happens totally, when you're 3-10 and you've lost 8 in a row. I mean, people start wondering who's right and who's wrong.
You start looking at some stuff, rightfully so.
Go to John in Southern Maryland on the fan. Hey, John, how are you?
Good. How you doing? First-time caller here.
Oh, okay.
That's well, exciting.
Thank you.
Jim Zorn has a message he's prepared for you.
You know
what you're doing.
Hey, Jim.
Hit that hooray! Hit that hooray!
All right. I'm a huge fan of Jaden Daniels, but this whole year has been a fluster, like just painful to watch, so... Until I know he's actually put in a good, I guess, off season, because it doesn't seem like it's going to be the rest of this season. It's not looking that way. With all his players, I mean, I don't see how he can be much better next year. Because you just said it first. I mean, he's not practicing, so that's hard to do.
Well, I mean,
appreciate you, dude.
The path to him being better next year is, again, for people that didn't hear it, the hypothetical is he's fully healthy all season. We're trying to remove the explanation. I'm not going to call it an excuse because I think it's a reality. But the explanation that a big, big reason for his regression, sophomore slump, whatever we're going to call it, is his lack of practice time and the in-and-out nature of him playing in games. It's the single biggest reason for him playing the way he is. But it doesn't change the fact that he's scrambling too high of a rate, that when he scrambles, he doesn't throw it, he runs too often. There's a lot of things he's doing as a processor that last year he was doing better, getting the ball out, getting the ball to his first read as fast as possible, pre-snap, you know, doing things to correct before the snap even happens at the line of scrimmage so you don't throw the ball on a screen right to the best screen defender in the league. And so we're trying to just drill down on injuries aside, assuming practicing every day, playing every day, are you sure that he's still one of the best quarterbacks in football? Because as crazy as it sounds now, people are like, best quarterbacks in football, why is that the bar? Because quite literally,
that's
was what
we
said
yes.
coming into the year. If you said anything other than, he's Washington's Mahomes, he's a top five guy, it was just put in pen. It wasn't even a pencil. You had to write it with a black Sharpie that Jaden Daniels was a top five quarterback in the league. Tim's in King George. What's up, Tim?
Thanks, Grant, for putting us on the map down here.
I don't know. Jermaine Bushrod did some heavy lifting there.
It's a couple Hall of Famers.
Oh, that's my man. That's my man. No, I'm kidding. Hey, guys, I tell you, he is definitely serviceable, but as just like Lamar, there's going to be a time maybe next year where he's not going to be running as much because we've all learned what happens from that. So he's going to be a pocket passer. So unless they surround him with weapons like they did at LSU, which they haven't done here through injury, you know, he doesn't have the Loveland tight end. He doesn't have pieces that some of these other guys have, and until he has those pieces, how can you judge him or what his outcome is going to be? He needs to be surrounded with solid receivers and tight end and a running back. No more.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, that goes for pretty much anybody. I mean, look at who's better than Pat Mahomes, who had a 43% completion percentage, 3-interception game the other night. You know, we're looking at his offensive coordinator. Man, he's not so good. Receiver-wise, they've been saying for years, they got to find something. I like this Rashee Rice for them, but he's more of a gadget gimmick guy, you know, kind of within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. Catch and run. They're running bubble screens to him. They don't have much downfield threat. It's sort of wave your hand at Mahomes and make some magic. And their offense has suffered for it, right? So that's true for anyone. But in terms of Daniel specifically, it's so hard to pinpoint and separate the he hasn't had time to play because of the injury part and also the stuff that we're seeing. Like, in other words, there's a play you and I watched a bunch of times. The what should have been a touchdown to Brandon Coleman when he's tackle eligible against it was this week, right? It was Vikings.
Second and goal.
Second and goal. So I think if he's playing all the time and he hadn't had three separate times leaving games because of injuries or whatever, I think he gets around quickly, sees it, throws it. You're a little bit slower because you haven't, because you're not on rhythm and you don't get your head around in time. You don't see it in time. You wait that extra beat, the defender closes, and now the play's dead. I think that's because he hasn't played a lot. I don't think that's because he forgot how to throw. I don't think that's because he forgot how to see someone open and throw it.
Anybody would say he forgot how to throw.
I'm obviously using extreme language here, but you see what I mean? Like, I think that gets fixed if he had played the previous 3 weeks. That's different than, are we talking about somebody that, if they're playing all the time, isn't the same player as he was last year? It's hard to separate the injury part of it from the, okay, is that because of he hadn't had practice time or is it because he's not as good as he was?
I get it. But either the point is on a binary. Either you think the reason he's struggling this year is because of health and time to get better in practice, or because a natural regression is happening and he's just not doing things at as high a level. As Russell pointed out, the Giants game, he was completely healthy. Wasn't great.
No.
The Packers game before the injury, which happened late in the game, in the third or fourth quarter, by the way.
It was not good at all, that game.
He was bad in that game.
The game was not good for anybody.
That was arguably his worst game of his career at that juncture.
Yeah.
Training camp was not as good as last year's training camp. He didn't play at all in the preseason. He had four plays and one dropback that turned into a scramble touchdown. So it's hard to judge that. But there were seven healthy quarters where he was not at the level of last year that have nothing to do with injuries. Those were the only seven healthy quarters we have. It's too small of a sample, but that's what we got. G&D on the fan. Let's preview week 15 in the NFL and give you some confidence points predictions next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.